An Army depot in Colorado is home to a deadly legacy. Hundreds of thousands of chemical weapons have been in storage for decades. They must be destroyed under an international treaty, but environmental concerns have delayed that until now. The shell and mortars there, filled with mustard gas, are finally disappearing. Michael DeJoanna from member station KUNC reports.
During World War II, the U.S. military assembled a special group of soldiers who were preparing to use chemical weapons if the Nazis used them first.
When the gas warfare phase comes, it will produce tremendous casualties on the enemy and at the same time prevent excessive casualties to our own troops.
The film highlights a vast network of chemical weapons labs and manufacturing arsenals working on the efforts.
Here on the outskirts of Denver, Colorado, is the newest of our arsenals, the Rocky Mountain Chemical Warfare Arsenal. It is located completely out of the range of any possible air threat.
The weapons made in this era and subsequent years were sent to various depots around the country, including one about 100 miles south of Denver. The Army's Pueblo Chemical Depot, where they've sat for about seven decades. By international treaty, workers are disassembling 780,000 shells and mortars.
There's chemical agent in there, there's decontamination solution in there, a vapor hazard, a liquid hazard.
It'll kill you.
That's Tom Bailey. He's a support specialist at the heavily guarded Pueblo Chemical Agent Destruction Pilot Plant, one of just two Army sites in the U.S. contending with such chemical weapons. The work is so technical and dangerous that I'm not allowed into the actual site. So I'm visiting a nearby training facility, a life-sized replica. Only there's no mustard agent to worry about here. Inside, there are two robots. They're named for characters in the classic 1970s Mel Brooks film, Young Frankenstein. One is Inga, and...
Who was Inga's assistant with young Dr. Frankenstein?
Well, I'm thinking Igor, or is it Igor?
Igor. You nailed it.
Igor and Inga work together. One cuts open the tops of the shells to remove the bursters that would make them explode. And then comes the tricky part. Some shells are corroded on the inside, and as a byproduct, hydrogen gas can mingle with the mustard agent, causing a deadly hazard.
It's in the liquid.
Okay.
Just like champagne.
Wow.
Okay? What happens when you open a champagne bottle? What happens when you break that seal at the top? Right?
Yeah.
All those bubbles break.
Right.
And when they do, then that...
cascades out.
It expands.
Igor delicately moves a roughly 100-pound shell upside down at a kind of sink. It's a precaution in case the gallon of liquid inside were to start bubbling. A machine sprays high-pressure hot water into the shell, coaxing what's left in it out. The rest of the shell goes to an oven, where it is superheated, burning off any remaining mustard. From there, the steel is recycled, and the liquid flows down a drain through titanium pipes in a closed system. From there...
It is just basic wastewater treatment 101.
Site project manager Walton Levi, who runs the plant, says the water starts to break down the mustard agent and eventually it goes to a reactor where it is neutralized. It becomes what's called thiodiglycol. And as odd as this sounds, the same kind of microbes that are used in sewage systems to consume human waste also eat this stuff.
What is the byproduct of that?
It is mostly water and salt.
Plain old salt.
Plain old salt. It's kind of a wet salt.
The water is then pressed out of that salt and reused at the plant. The salt cakes that are left are contaminated with heavy metals.
So you'll see these salt cakes go off to hazardous waste landfill.
By law, the facility's entire inventory, 780,000 shells, must be destroyed by the end of 2023. Levi wants that to happen a full year ahead of the deadline.
We want to make sure we target early as a contingency
because there can be delays. Earlier this year, plant operations were halted when two large tanks that store the thiodiglycol developed leaks.
They were down about 3 to 4 weeks.
On July 31st, the plant hit a milestone, processing 150,000 of the largest shells at a rate of 24 per hour, as agreed to with the state. All of this effort was created a generation ago as an alternative to how the Army used to destroy chemical weapons, first by dropping them into the sea and, when that fell under scrutiny, by incinerating them at installations. When the work at Pueblo's Army Depot and another depot in Kentucky is finally done, the United States will be rid of its chemical weapons. They were manufactured for a nightmare battle that never happened. For Here and Now, I'm Michael DeOanna.